Your wife have been telling us about a marvelous opportunity that God is leading you to get into, and at the same time, out of the other side of your mouth, you've said, I hate fundraising. I just hate that. And I've had ministers tell me, I don't want to know anything about how money is raised in my church. I just want to be oblivious to that. And some ministers say, I only preach on money twice a year because it offends people. Well, now, wait a minute. If that minister of God is to take my money and present it to the Lord, I want them to treat it right and with great respect. I want them to do it right. And I think that it's been defiled many times, and we've been afraid to talk about money, and yet Jesus talked a lot about money in the New Testament.
I understand, though, what this young pastor was saying. I don't like fundraising. Because in Galatians 6, it says, those who are taught the word share their sustenance with those who teach them the word. And that ought to be enough. That really ought to be enough. When people are learning from a teacher or a pastor or a minister, they should be giving to that pastor or minister because they're learning from that pastor and minister. But in this day and age, Darren, with so much thrown at everybody, I mean continually from all four sides, people are getting all kinds of fundraising things on the phone, in the mail, at church. And pretty soon it becomes overwhelming. And I can understand why this young pastor said, I hate fundraising, because he doesn't like that issue. He would rather teach the Word of God than that
particular thing. But you know, when I finished talking to him, he says, okay, I repent, Darren, I repent.
I know he did.
Get off my back. No, but here's what I said to him. I said, listen, you almost denied me an opportunity to get blessed.
Yes.
Because you have a fabulous thing going here. And both of us, while we were sitting there, I could see you were getting agitated, so was I. And by that, I mean we both saying, well, how much can we sow and how soon can we sow it? See, we were really saying to him, we want to be a part of your miracle, man. And I said to him, listen, don't withhold an opportunity for the people to sow into, because you're a key to my miracle here, man. So, you know, don't do anything to mess that up. Well, he's since repented, and I believe it's going to make a difference in his ministry. But one of the things I think about, Barbara, is in Galatians 6:7, where it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I believe that people have looked at our reaping over the years, our harvest, as Christians. And when I say ours, I mean everybody, or almost everybody. And they're saying, well, that's not a very good deal. And I believe we've allowed our God to be mocked because we haven't gotten into the Scripture to find the revelation, not only on sowing, but on reaping. And I see so many times when there's no harvest, you say, what's going on here? Well, behind a lot of this is the devil is trying to starve us out through psychological warfare. He wants to scare us to death so that we don't sow, or we don't sow enough, or we don't sow in the right ground. I believe God wants to change that.
Well, and there's always, you know, that as people sow their seed, they're going to be blessed. And yet there are the critics and the cynics, and those people that continually badmouth a pastor or a minister that is making a prosperous way with his teaching and with his ministry. And there are always those people that are badmouthing the minister or the teacher that is being blessed by his teaching because the people are giving to him. We're always going to have those cynics and critics that are bad-mouthing the people that do get blessed. And people are getting blessed, Darren. Those that really follow God's word and do it correctly, their shoes are being blown off. I mean, they really are. And we know them. And when I see people like Benny Hinn, who is filling conference centers and filling auditoriums and filling soccer fields in other countries, and I see the tremendous ministry God has given to this man, I have joy for him. I'm not critical, and a lot of people are critical of him.
Well, I think that's too bad, and I would say this to you. Before you touch the anointing on a man of God, you better back off and look at it, because the Bible specifically says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And I know we were in a large meeting with some friends, and they have means, more money than we have, and they were offended because the offering envelope said suggested levels of giving. I think it was $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, $100, whatever.
It started from $50 and then went up to $10,000.
And it went up to $10,000. Well, This fellow could have written a check for $10,000 probably 10 times, but he was offended because he thought, well, they're after my money. Well, he missed the point. See, they were giving him an opportunity. To sow into a field that yes. was very, I mean, people were getting healed and delivered in this meeting, and I mean, it was all going on. You say, well, there's the harvest. There's the harvest of the word right there in front of your eyes. Well, we have to be careful, and I would say this to you. Some of you may be bound up in your harvesting because you have mocked a minister of the gospel. And I don't care what that man or that woman's flesh looked like or appeared to you like, you know, these people are way off the track. If the anointing of God is there, okay, I would say you better repent. You better ask God's forgiveness for touching the anointing. Just don't do that. That's a no-no. And when you do that, there are consequences, and some of you are living with those consequences today. And then I think you're sowing in presumption. You're saying, I'm presumed everything's cool between me and God. After all, you know, look at me. Well, it's not make-believe. It's not tradition. It's not going through the motions. It's not a fairy tale. This sowing and reaping is for real.
That's right.
And if you said, well, I'll never see that money again. Oh, you've killed your potential for a harvest. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we said, well, you know, we'll get the harvest maybe some other place, some other time. And I would say, if you've been one of those with those attitudes in your heart and you said some of those dumb things, and they are dumb, you need to repent of that and ask God to help you with your mouth. What else can I say? I believe that we need to really plant knowledgeably, and we're going to talk to you about that today. But we need to have such a knowing that when we plant, that we have a title deed to a harvest. And you say, what is a title deed? Well, there's a title on your house. And if you have it financed with XYZ mortgage company, that mortgage company has first dibs on your house. I'll say it that way. You pay for it, but they have control over that mortgage until you have paid them all off. Wouldn't you like to live in a debt-free house? That's our goal. We want to get that house paid off.
Not only that, Darren, I want to live with discretionary funds so that I don't have to just be thinking about the bill paying. When I see a need or when I see an opportunity, like you're saying, I can take my checkbook and write a check feeling absolutely wonderful about it. And again, I go back to Benny Hinn. When his wife, Suzanne, told him about this great worship tape that she was listening to, and she was putting it on every morning with her devotions, all of a sudden he began listening and he said, you know, I need that man. I need that man in my services. And he had enough discretionary funds. He had enough abundance in his ministry, praise God he did, that he took on this man as a full-time partner, and this man is traveling with them now. And I believe this man needs a monthly stipend for his family and to make it with to pay his bills or sow his bills, and also to make his livelihood. And I'm sure Benny is helping him greatly with that. And I believe that's what the ministry is all about, Darren. It's about helping others, not only doing our bills, taking care of our bills and our mortgage payments, but it's helping brothers and sisters and making the kingdom go. It really is, advancing the kingdom.
See, I believe if we find out that another believer, for example, has had something unexpected happen. Let's say all of a sudden the kids need braces, or they need money for tuition to go to a Christian school, or maybe they've had a car accident and the thing isn't all worked out yet, and you know, and they're just short financially. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just reach in our checkbook and say, well, how much your house payment? I want to make your house payment this month. Wouldn't that be super? Or let me make your car payment. Or, you know, can I help you send those kids to college?
Or how about if you see a young person who is extremely talented? We've seen a young man who draws better than any young person I've ever seen. What if you saw a gift in a young person and you said, you know what? Would you like to go through college? Would you like to go through graphic arts school? I'll pay your way through. Now, that's something I would love to do. If I see a musician, a young kid that is just absolutely wonderful on the guitar or piano, would you like to go to school? Would you like to be funded and just have the time to practice and not have to work? I'm going to pay your way. I'd love to do that, wouldn't you? Oh, I'd love that.
Well, since you have all the money, Barbara, I've got some things. You want to sponsor me?
Well, I've been sponsoring you.
In the last part of this message, we're going to give you some real insight, some revelation knowledge. So I would recommend, as always, when you listen to our messages, whether you're in a meeting or you're listening by radio or by a taped message, that you have a pad pencil and paper. Have your Bible so you can write down references and concepts and check them out another time. God bless, and we're going to continue with this teaching.